Right. Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Hey, Bob.
Are there people watching on the internet? You're missing out on a lot of fun. I've had a really interesting time getting to the conference this year, and I'm really pleased to be here. Part of the work that we did for this paper was underwritten by one of our government research sponsors, and they have a requirement to pre-approve papers before they're published. And we submitted it and waited the 30 days, and it got lost, and then we submitted it again, and it stayed on somebody's desk. And we finally got a phone call that we got technical release on Wednesday afternoon. So I can actually present the paper, and I'm thrilled about that. But I didn't know it would be in the proceedings or not. I was talking to Cliff about what we could do. So I printed off some extra copies, and I brought them with me. I guess I'll just pass them around if anybody'd like one. Or here, we can do half on each side of the room or something. If anybody wants a copy of the paper, you're more than welcome to take one home, whether or not you get the proceedings. For those of you at home, you'll have to see it on the CD. But I wanted to present actually a little bit about what we've been doing with Tickle Test and testing some applications. And when I was like 3 days before the conference and I didn't know if I'd be able to make a presentation at all, I made something up because I didn't want to let you guys down. So we're actually going to try and wedge in a twofer in 20 minutes, right? 20 minutes is what I got. Okay. So what I'm going to do is show you my presentation of the paper, which you can read about and is very interesting and has references at the end, and then we'll play around with something else at the end, and maybe it'll be fun. So let me get started a little bit. I'm just going to jump right into the paper and not give you a big introduction on the kinds of stuff that we do, because I'll show you an application halfway through. But this is an outline of what's in the paper, and doing a paper and then a presentation is nice because you just copy the headings of the sections onto the slides and off you go. But at least it'll give us an opportunity to talk about what's going on here. Tickle Test, for those of you who don't know, is a test harness that gets distributed with Tickle and TK. It's written in pure Tickle, so it's as portable as Tickle is. It's very effective at doing unit testing. It runs quite well for many files of tests and has a lot of control over which tests get run depending on what platform you're on or how it's going to interoperate or something like that. It really does a good job in dealing with unit tests, and for object-oriented testing, I've used it for exercising objects as well. Create your anchor tickle or your SNID objects and exercise them a little bit and throw them away, and it really helps the regression testing or the testing automation. Probably the preeminent example of Tickle tests are the about 20,000 and 19,000 tests that come with Tickle and TK. That's really nice. Thank you. When you build Tickle and TK, you can test them and exercise them. The 19,000 tests run, you got a pretty good bet that it's actually functioning properly. If you've got HPUX you're building it on, then some of them fail. That's the way it goes. But it works quite well. There are some kind of style guidelines that come with it, and I listed a couple here. They should be independent. You don't want to have tests that depend upon each other as you go through the test file. You want them, some of them might get skipped, or if one test fails, you don't want to have all the rest of the tests in the file fail, because then you're missing out on half your testing. But they are usually scripts that are readable, and it's up to you, the test writer, to create something that is going to be maintainable along with your source code. Now, Tickle Test isn't necessarily that good for application testing, in particular, a GUI application testing, because the test approach is a little different. You're not dealing with a single subroutine or an object or something like that. You're dealing with probably a large integrated program, and there are, in many cases, at least for the software that we put together, you got to get through a lot of steps to get some functionality done. Tickle Test, it can work for that, but it's not really that well suited for it. However, when you get into the GUI applications, you run into a real problem, because if you need to start the application, do some things with it, and then shut it down, you maintain an awful lot of state in TK. And in fact, you can't start up TK and then shut it down and start it up again. It just doesn't work that way. Somebody told me yesterday, I think, that prior to TK 8.4, you couldn't even load it into slave interpreters repeatedly. But you can do that now. So if you can imagine a GUI test harness that's going to start the application up, and as I list here, do something and come up with some results, then you're going to be a happy camper. And there are some things that can help you do that. We had presentations on one of them last year, the TK Replay. Android is another tool, and it's similar to the WinRunner tool. It runs only on Windows. And these things will drive a GUI application by poking at the window, basically. On one level, you can just poke at the pixels on the screen, click on a button and then look at the text. At a little lower level, which is probably better for TK applications, TK Replay lets you look in the interpreter so you can drive widgets instead of just X events going into the thing. So that can be a little bit better. But for these kinds of applications, you really have to capture a test script. You have to record it. And it's not really that readable, and it's kind of hard to maintain. So we came up needing to do a little bit of GUI tests. We came up with this idea of using a slave interpreter, because we could start a slave interpreter, load in TK and all the extensions, and basically run the application in the slave interpreter. We'd be able to use the slave eval feature to make the slave interpreter do things. So we have a test script that we program that is something maintainable. And then at the end, when the application exits, it just blows away the interpreter, and we can do it again. So we get to write kind of system level tests to our program's API, and we can start and stop the applications. And it doesn't really require a specialized test program, which I find a little intimidating because I'm simple. So let me give you a couple of examples in case you haven't done a lot of testing. This is really backwards, because what you're supposed to do is, if you're doing the agile programming, you actually write the test case first. So just imagine the bigger box is up on top. The test that I'm trying to pass here is basically a package require tickle test, and then the test function itself is the test command, and then you give it a name, in this case, hello 1, a comment in braces usually, just what I'm trying to test, and then kind of like a proc body, we're just going to execute some code, and then that final set of braces on the end is what our expected result is going to be. So in this case, we're going to run the hello proc, and it's going to do its thing. It's not really going to return a result, because the puts command doesn't return anything. So we're expecting a null result from it. And that's pretty straightforward. We do that a lot. If you put hello into the canonical GUI form, where you slap up a button that does the hello command for you, you can still test that. But you need to work with it a little bit to get the TK part to work right. So we can, in the more complex feature here, we can have setup and teardown sections. Our test gets a little messier, but essentially here in our setup, we're gonna create a slave interpreter, source in the file, we'll call update, even though it's evil, and then we'll do the body of the test, which is basically command the subinterpreter to the slave interpreter to run the hello proc, and then we do our cleanup to delete it. So we can control that application kind of by remote control in the slave interpreter. And it does work. It's a little different. There are some things you got to take care of. The slave interpreter doesn't by default have argv and argc, and maybe your program needs those. You got to be careful about the environment variables, because they're shared among all interpreters, and maybe that's not a good thing in this case, because you want to put it back the way you found it between tests. And tickle test does a neat thing where you can capture output. You don't just have to check the return value of a proc. If the proc was doing puts or sending something to a channel, you can actually capture that and look at that, and you need to put some extra hooks in. And, of course, the last one's important. You don't want your slave to just exit the whole tickle interpreter. So you can create a couple of procedures to help you out. I called them start app and stop app for lack of imagination. And here are the things you want to do. Like I mentioned, save your interpreter or save your environment, create an interpreter, and the stop app will delete the interpreter and restore the environment. So you got a few steps in there. The code is actually in the paper, so you can take a look at that. The application we developed this for is called XM3, or maybe we're just calling it XM now, I guess. But it's a reasonable sized application. It's got some C integrated and everybody's favorite extension that causes me difficulties for different reasons, but we wanted to implement some of the application tests, and in fact, we did that. What we found out is, as we were doing it, we needed to capture some of these extra issues, and we found out that the tests can run, and it's really cool to watch the application flash up on the screen and shut down, but it's pretty slow. If you're starting the whole application every time you do it, your tests are not going to be real quick. You can kind of work around that if you want to structure your test file a little differently and have dependent tests instead of all independent. You can start the application and run individual tests and then stop the application, and that can improve performance some. We also found out that there are some GUI parts that don't like this kind of procedure. If you end up drawing a B-widget dialog, you can't get back from there. So you have to actually be careful about how you do it. There is the issue that you got to make sure your extensions can all be loaded into that slave interpreter as well. Does anybody want to guess? Don't just shout it out. Yes. The BLT Windows version that you can download off of SourceForge does not have the patch applied to allow it to be loaded into slave interpreter, so it doesn't work real well on Windows, but it will work fine on Unix. This is the application we've been talking about. It's an electromagnetic modeling kind of thing where you plug in a lot of parameters over here and hit run, and it thinks for a while and gives you graphs about what's going to happen in a transmission line. So it's pretty cool, but in fact I don't have that here, so I can't show it to you, and given that we haven't released that product out anywhere, I didn't want to bring the source code either. But I used the same thing on a little soccer managers program that I was working on at home, so we can use those as examples, right? Nice and generic. So here's a way to group some tests together. We use the start app procedure to basically start the program, and then we can have the tests and then stop the application at the end. And finally, testing or programming for testability. I mentioned the agile development before. You really want to test first, so you write the tests and then build the code. And you want to have those tests available and testing all of your code. So you want to write the code to be testable. And that means you have to think a little bit and work around limitations like B-widget or anything else. So here's an example of how I dealt with that problem. I had an add player procedure, which in the good old days used to create a player object and pop up a dialog. But since the dialog would not return to my tickle test, I restructured a little bit so that the add player procedure would receive some arguments. And then it would make a decision. If it receives arguments, then it's being exercised by the test harness and it would do its thing. If it didn't get those arguments, then it'll pop up the dialog for the user. So I'm still not testing the dialog at that level, but I am testing my application's API. And that's better than nothing. So kind of in conclusion, if you look at the end of the paper, it says, hey, here's a way we can test some of these applications. It sort of fits in between the real GUI testing and just unit testing, but it can be kind of useful. I've got just a couple of procs, but it certainly could be implemented as a package or, I don't know, even an extension if you wanted to. So let me show you how it works just because we love this kind of stuff. Here's the XM3 test file, and I hope it fits here with this enormous font. I've got a start application procedure, which does all the things we talked about there, and the redirecting standard input and standard output's a little tricky there. Stop application deletes the interpreter. Here's my procedure, which catches the exit so that the slave doesn't, when the application exits, it doesn't exit all my tests. And then here's a goofy thing that kind of captures the standard output similar to the way tickle test does it. That's just code. These listings are in, the listings for those are in the paper if you want to look at them. And then here are some of the tests. In this case, we're going to use the setup and the cleanup features on tickle test to do the startup and teardown. So in the case of just starting the application and tearing it down is our first test. Second test, we actually check to see if some environment or some global variables exist to make sure that the program is running, and then we can actually exercise it in different ways. Here's a test where we start up the application, and for each of the things we want to exercise, we call app eval and then basically pass it a script. It's going to call some subroutines. We periodically call update so we can watch the screen flash and show it to the boss, and he thinks it's cool. Everybody loves that stuff, right? Changes? No, good heavens. Then I got another one on here which actually functions. Because I don't have that program with me, I've got the same thing, but just the first couple of test cases for a program called TNT, which is another one we did. And since I've got so much time, I'll show you that, right? Nope, I'm in the wrong window here. So let's run the TNT test file, and it actually pops up the program and shuts it down. And it goes by pretty quick, but compared to the, 30 tests a second that tickle test is doing, or hundreds of tests a second, it's pretty pokey. But it is a way to get things done. Now, I'm not going to take any questions. Instead, I'm going to go on to the real presentation. No, there's something else I wanted to show you. Kind of related to testing, I wanted to be able to talk about something in case I couldn't present the paper. And this turned out to be fun, and so I wanted to share it with you, too, and I've got 7 minutes and 7 seconds. So let me show you a little testing dashboard. And I wanted to do a quick background on Tickle Test, but we've kind of already done that, so I don't need to worry about that too much. But here's an example test of how they sort of work. And there are interesting things that you can do in the tests. And here's one I just snatched out of the YNCode module out of TickleLib. Normally, when you run it, you just say, run these tests, and it goes off and gives you a response like, here's the file I ran, yncode.test, and everything passed, and everybody's happy. So that's kind of the way it works. Now, a test dashboard is a way to look at those test results kind of periodically. The VTK, the Visualization Toolkit, has a really nice online dashboard. They distribute code on the net. People build it on their own systems, and the build process reports back success and failure. So you can go to this website and look at the green boxes are platforms where it built correctly and we got a good binary, and then there are yellow and red sections where there's errors. So it runs builds every night and updates this dashboard to let everybody know how the testing is going. It's really cool. Now the agile folks say you want to write the test cases first and then run the tests, and then run the test, it'll fail, and then you write code and that'll work. And this has some good things that everybody who loves extreme programming loves, and I've done a little bit of it. So some folks said, how can we help get that done? And they created one of these Java things, right? JUnit, and that kind of spawned a series of unit testing things. They're all kind of similar, but it's basic test harness to give you the ability to test your Java classes and not the applications, okay? And it's really exciting because you only have to follow a few steps here. You create an instance of the test class, and you change the constructor and override the run test method, and then you have to compile and link and run the whole thing, and it's really cool. But best of all, it's Java. So here's an example of one of their tests where they show, and I grabbed this out of their manual, test a simple add. They've got a couple of money classes, so we create money objects, and then do a money computation here where they say result is equal to some add function and then assert true, and hopefully that'll all fall through and work out. Not really knowing what these objects were, if I had objects kind of like that and I was doing it in Tickle, this would be what my Tickle test would look like, where I create a couple of objects and then call an add and then I check the result on it. So it's the same kind of thing, although, you know, simple is good and we all know what's better. So what's the big deal, right? Well, the Java guys can finally test stuff. That's great. And they have a cute little dashboard to help out with the extreme programming. Because the idea is you want to run these tests. You got a test suite, run them all the time while you're doing your code, and it's kind of a cool idea. So they've got this cool program that has an 11-widget GUI on it. And it's got a button on it, and you can run the tests. And it's kind of got an option. Do you want to reload all the classes and recompile everything every time, or do you just want to rerun the tests? And it's a neat thing. They're real excited about it. There are similar kinds of dashboards that can just run the tests and then report their errors. And I was looking at that, and I was thinking, this is one of the things I ran into when I was trying to find references to put on the end of my paper after I wrote it. And I ran across this, and I thought, you know, that's really cool. I ought to do something like that sometime. And then it turned out, you know, I didn't know if I could even present the paper I wrote and got all the good references for. So, well, why not play with something like that? Let's think about how Tickle Test works. It's actually better than a lot of those other test frameworks, in my humble opinion. And it's got a lot of cool features to it, too. You can do these test constraints by platform or time of day or whatever. You know, if you're on HP, don't bother testing anything, something like that. You've got these setup and teardown things, custom matching routines you can put into it. So it's really elegant. It's got a lot of features in it. Normally, it's pretty terse, and that's the way the test suite should be. It's like this first command line I've got up here where I say, tickle shell csdl.test, and it just says, you know, everything passed. And that's the kind of summary you want. You just want to know if it passed. If there are errors, it'll give you listings of what happened. But you can turn on more verbosity with one of the features there, and in fact, it'll spit out a line every time it starts and passes a test or fails a test. So there's an opportunity there to just kind of run it and then parse the output without instrumenting tickle test or doing anything else. So I put 11 tile widgets. on a GUI, and I said, hey, this is kind of fun. We can either pick an individual file or run everything in a directory, because TickleTest will run all the tests in a directory too pretty easily, and I got a run button on there, and my little indicator's green because I haven't done anything yet. You know, actually, I've got a couple more pictures of what this would look like, but I, if God is willing, we'll actually be able to run it here, and it's more fun to see that way anyway, and I got 2 minutes left, so I think we'll get there. Let's run the guy here. Whoa, it came up. I love it. So we got a little GUI there, and we'll just pick a directory and run all the tests that are in that directory. Here's the base 64 module that I stole out of TickleLib, and you say run, and it goes off and runs the tests, and on the bottom it reports that I'm doing 48 tests a second, which is really exciting. And I just threw each file name and then each test into the tile tree, which I want to put a plug-in for. Where'd Joe go? It's got a nice API. I like this particular tree view widget, so if you need one, it's pretty nice. So I threw in a little icon and the name of the test when it goes there, and then we've got the results of the test on the right, and they're all boring because they all passed in this case. So let's run one that actually is more exciting. Let's grab all the tests out of, Tickle, and run those. And so I'll go and run the files, and it'll show you what's going on. And I can imagine using a little gizmo like this while I'm developing code to just go off and run the test suites. Oh, damn, Tickle doesn't work. No, what's we can actually look at this if you want to. Does anybody really care? But all your tests pass until you find the one that fails. Did I tell you there's a lot of tests in there, and probably my PC isn't set up right? So there's your test output. And it, to me, it seems like kind of a cute idea to help you while you're doing the development. So then after a couple of pictures of this, I had a slide that said, well, does that sound like it's useful? And if it does, maybe it can be something we could play with. But then I realized as I was just playing with it here, is it fun? That's the question I should be asking. Is your testing fun? So that's all I really had to present to you. Are there any questions anybody would like to ask that I can divert to somebody who knows more about it than I do? Yes, sir. No, I wrote that on my last two trips, and I was coding it yesterday during the parts of it yesterday during the conference. So it isn't, but we can certainly figure out a way to put it somewhere that people could use. There's never enough SourceForge projects, right? I mean, if you want to, if that seems like a reasonable thing to do, or I can just email it to you. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Have a good morning.